saw his sister in the process of handing the Naginata to his mother, who took it and spun it expertly in her grasp. "Thank you, Isabel," Mayra said, and with a movement as swift as any of her daughter's, she lowered the blade so that it pointed directly at the Inquisitor's heart. Imogen Herondale looked up at Mayra with the blank, shattered eyes of a ruined statue.
"Are you going to kill me, Mayra?"
Mayra hissed through her teeth. "Not even close," she said. "We need every shadow hunter in the city, and right now that includes you. Get up, Imogen, and get yourself ready for battle. From now on, the orders around here are going to come from me." She smiled grimly. "And the first thing you're going to do is free my son from that accursed Malachi configuration." She looked magnificent as she spoke, Alec thought with pride, a true shadow hunter warrior, every line of her blazing with righteous fury. He hated to spoil the moment, but they were going to find out Jace was gone on their own soon enough. Better that someone cushioned the shock. He cleared his throat. "Actually," he said, "there's something you should probably know." Chapter 18. Darkness Visible. Clary had always hated roller coasters, hated that feeling of her stomach dropping out through her feet when the coaster hurtled downward. Being snatched from the truck and dragged through the air like a mouse in the claws of an eagle was 10 times worse. She screamed out loud as her feet left the truck bed and her body soared upward, unbelievably fast. She screamed and twisted until she looked down and saw how high she already was above the water and realized what would happen if the flying demon released her. She went still. The pickup truck looked like a toy below, drifting impossibly on the waves. The city swung around her, blurred walls of glittering light. It might have been beautiful if she weren't so terrified. The demon banked and dived, and suddenly, instead of rising, she was falling. She thought of the thing dropping her hundreds of feet through the air until she crashed into the icy black water and shut her eyes, but falling through blind darkness was worse. She opened them again and saw the black deck of the ship rising up from below her like a hand about to swat them both out of the sky. She screamed a second time as they dropped toward the deck, and through a dark square cut into its surface. Now they were inside the ship. The flying creature slowed its pace. They were dropping through the center of the boat, surrounded by railed metal decks. Clary caught glimpses of dark machinery. None of it looked in working order, and there were gears and tools abandoned in various places. If there had been electrical lights before, they were no longer working, though a faint glow permeated everything. Whatever had powered the ship before, Valentine was now powering it with something else. Something that had sucked the warmth right out of the atmosphere. Icy air lashed at her face as the demon reached the bottom of the ship and ducked down a long, poorly lit corridor. It wasn't being particularly careful with her. Her knee slammed against a pipe as the creature turned a corner, sending a shockwave of pain up her leg. She cried out and heard its hissing laughter above her. Then it released her and she was falling. Twisting in the air, Clary tried to get her hands and knees under her before she hit the ground. It almost worked. She struck the floor with a jarring impact and rolled to the side, stunned. She was lying on a hard metal surface in semi-darkness. This had probably been a storage space at one point, because the walls were smooth and doorless. There was a square opening high above her through which the only light filtered. Her whole body felt like one big bruise.
"Clary,"
a whispered voice. She rolled onto her side, wincing. A shadow knelt beside her. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, she saw the small, curvy figure, braided hair, dark brown eyes. Maya.
"Clary, is that you?"
Clary sat up, ignoring the screaming pain in her back.
"Maya! Maya, oh my God!"
She stared at the other girl, then wildly around the room. It was empty but for the two of them.
"Maya, where is he? Where's Simon?"
Maya bit her lip. Her wrists were bloody. Clary saw her face streaked with dried tears.
"Clary, I'm so sorry," she said in her soft and husky voice.
"Simon's dead." Soaked through and half frozen, Jace collapsed onto the deck of the ship, water streaming from his hair and clothes. He stared up at the cloudy night sky, gasping in breaths. It had been no easy task to climb the rickety iron ladder badly bolted to the ship's metal side,
especially with slippery hands and drenched clothes dragging him down. If it hadn't been for the fearless rune, he reflected, he probably would have been worried that one of the flying demons would pick him off the ladder like a bird picking a bug off a vine. Fortunately, they seemed to have returned to the ship once they'd seized Clary. Jace couldn't imagine why, but he'd long ago given up trying to fathom why his father did anything. Above him, a head appeared, silhouetted against the sky. It was Luke, having reached the top of the ladder. He clambered laboriously onto the railing and dropped down onto the other side of it. He looked down at Jace.
You all right?
Fine. Jace got to his feet. He was shivering. It was cold on the boat, colder than it had been down by the water. And his jacket was gone. He'd given it to Clary. Jace looked around.
Somewhere there's a door that leads into the ship. I found it last time. We just have to walk around the deck until we find it again.
Luke started forward.
And let me go first, Jace added, stepping in front of him.
Luke shot him an extremely puzzled look, seemed as if he were about to say something, and finally fell into step just beside Jace as they approached the curved front of the ship where Jace had stood with Valentine the night before. He could hear the oily slap of water against the bow far below.
Your father, Luke said. What did he say to you when you saw him? What did he promise you?
Oh, you know, the usual. A lifetime supply of Knicks tickets.
Jace spoke lightly, but the memory bit into him deeper than the cold.
He said he'd make sure no harm came to me or anyone I cared about if I'd leave the Clave and return to Idris with him.
Do you think,
Luke hesitated,
do you think he'd hurt Clary to get back at you?
They rounded the bow and Jace caught a brief glimpse of the Statue of Liberty off in the distance, a pillar of glowing light.
No, I think he took her to make us come onto the boat like this, to give him a bargaining chip, that's all.
I'm not sure he needs a bargaining chip.
Luke spoke in a low voice as he unsheathed his kinjal. Jace turned to follow Luke's gaze and for a moment could only stare. There was a black hole in the deck on the west side of the ship, a hole like a square that had been cut into the metal, and out of its depths poured a dark cloud of monsters. Jace flashed back to the last time he had stood here, with the mortal sword in his hand, staring around him in horror, as the sky above him and the sea below him turned to roiling masses of nightmares. Only now they stood in front of him, a cacophony of demons. The bone-white realm that had attacked them at Luke's. Oni demons with their green bodies, wide mouths and horns. The slinking black curry demons, spider demons with their eight pincer-tipped arms and the poison dripping fangs that protruded from their eye sockets. Jace couldn't count them all. He felt for Kamael and took it from his belt, its white glare lighting the deck. The demons hissed at the sight of it, but none of them backed away. The fearless rune on Jace's shoulder blade began to burn. He wondered how many demons he could kill before it burned itself away.
Stop. Stop.
Luke's hand, knotted in the back of Jace's shirt, jerked him backward.
There's too many, Jace. If we can get back to the ladder. We can't.
Jace yanked himself out of Luke's grip and pointed.
They've cut us off on both sides.
It was true. A phalanx of Moloch demons, flames jetting from their empty eyes, blocked their retreat. Luke swore, fluently and viciously.
Jump over the side then, I'll hold them off.
You jump, Jace said. I'm fine here.
Luke threw his head back. His ears had gone pointed, and when he snarled at Jace, his lips drew back over canines that were suddenly sharp.
You!
He broke off as a Moloch demon leaped at him. Claws outstretched. Jace stabbed it casually in the spine as it went by, and it staggered into Luke, yowling. Luke seized it in clawed hands and hurled it over the railing.
You used that fearless rune, didn't you?
Luke said, turning back to Jace with eyes that glowed amber. There was a distant splash.
You're not wrong, Jace admitted.
Christ, said Luke. Did you put it on yourself?
No. Clary put it on me.
Jace's seraph blade cut the air with white fire. Two Drevac demons fell. There were dozens more where it had come from, lurching toward them, their needle-tipped hands outstretched.
She's good at that, you know.
Teenagers, said Luke,
as if it were the filthiest word he knew, and threw himself into the oncoming horde. dead? Clary stared at Maya as if she'd spoken in Bulgarian. He can't be dead.
Maya said nothing, just watched her with sad dark eyes.
I would know.
Clary sat up and pressed her hand clenched into a fist against her chest.
I would know it here.
I thought that myself, Maya said, once. But you don't know. You never know. Clary scrambled to her feet. Jace's jacket hung off her shoulders, the back of it nearly shredded through. She shrugged it off impatiently and dropped it onto the floor. It was ruined, the back scored through with a dozen razored claw marks. Jace will be upset that I wrecked his jacket, she thought. I should buy him a new one. I should... She drew a long, ragged breath. She could hear her own heart pounding, but that sounded distant too.
What happened to him?
Maya was still kneeling on the floor. Valentine got us both, she said. He chained us up in a room together. Then he came in with a weapon, a sword, really long and bright, as if it was glowing. He threw silver powder at me so I couldn't fight him, and he stabbed Simon in the throat. Her voice faded to a whisper. He cut his wrists open and he poured the blood into bowls. Some of those demon creatures of his came in and helped him take it. Then he just left Simon lying there, like some toy he'd ripped all the insides out of so he had no use for it anymore. I screamed, but I knew he was dead. Then one of the demons picked me up and brought me down here. Clary pressed the back of her hand against her mouth, pressed and pressed until she tasted salty blood. The sharp taste of the blood seemed to cut through the fog in her brain. We have to get out of here. No offense, but that's pretty obvious. Maya got to her feet, wincing. There's no way out of here, not even for a shadow hunter. Maybe if you were...
If I were what? Clary demanded, pacing the square of their cell. Jace?
Well, I'm not. She kicked at the wall. It echoed hollowly. She dug into her pocket and pulled out her stele. But I have my own talents. She shoved the tip of the stele against the wall and began to draw. The line seemed to flow out of her, black and charred-looking, hot as her furious anger. She slammed the stele against the wall again, and the black lines flowed up out of its tip like flames. When she drew back, breathing hard, she saw Maya staring at her in astonishment. Girl, she said, what did you do? Clary wasn't sure. It looked as if she had thrown a bucket of acid against the wall. The metal all around the rune was sagging and dripping like ice cream on a hot day. She stepped back, eyeing it warily as a hole the size of a large dog opened in the wall. Clary could see steel struts behind it, more of the ship's metal innards. The edges of the hole still sizzled, though it had stopped spreading outward. Maya took a step forward, pushing Clary's arm away.
Wait, Clary was suddenly nervous. The melted metal, it could be like toxic sludge or something.
Maya snorted. I'm from New Jersey. I was born in toxic sludge. She marched up to the hole and peered through it. There's a metal catwalk on the other side, she announced. Here, I'm going to pull myself through. She turned around and stuck her feet through the hole, then her legs, moving backward slowly. She grimaced as she wriggled her body through, then froze.
Ouch! My shoulders are stuck. Push me?
She held her hands out. Clary took her hands and pushed. Maya's face turned white, then red, and she suddenly pulled free, like a champagne cork popped from the bottle. With a shriek, she tumbled backward. There was a crash, and Clary stuck her head anxiously through the hole.
Are you all right?
Maya was lying on a narrow metal catwalk several feet below. She rolled over slowly and pushed herself into a sitting position, wincing. My ankle, but I'll be fine, she added, seeing Clary's face. We heal fast too, you know.
I know. Okay, my turn.
Clary's stele poked uncomfortably into her stomach as she bent, prepared to slide through the hole after Maya. The drop to the catwalk was intimidating, but not as intimidating as the idea of waiting in the storage space for whatever came to claim them. She turned over onto her stomach, sliding her feet into the hole. And something seized her by the back of her shirt, hauling her upward. Her stele fell out of her belt and rattled to the floor.
She gasped in sudden shock and pain. The neckband of her sweater cut into her throat and she choked. A moment later, she was released. She crashed to the floor, her knees hitting the metal with a hollow clang. Gagging, she rolled onto her back and looked up, knowing what she would see. Valentine stood over her. In one hand, he held a serif blade, glittering with a harsh white light. His other hand, which had gripped the back of her shirt, was clenched into a fist. His carved white face was set into a sneer of disdain.
"Always your mother's daughter, Clarissa," he said. "What have you done now?"
Clary pulled herself painfully up to her knees. Her mouth was filled with the salty blood from where her lip had torn open. As she looked at Valentine, her simmering rage bloomed like a poisonous flower inside her chest. This man, her father, had killed Simon and left him dead on the floor like so much discarded trash. She had thought she had hated people before in her life. She'd been wrong. This was hatred.
"The werewolf girl," Valentine went on, frowning. "Where is she?"
Clary leaned forward and spat her mouthful of blood onto his shoes. With a sharp exclamation of disgust and surprise, he stepped backward, raising the blade in his hand, and for a moment Clary saw the unguarded fury in his eyes and thought he was really going to do it, was really going to kill her right there where she crouched at his feet for spitting on his shoes. Slowly, he lowered the blade. Without a word, he walked past Clary and stared through the hole she had made in the wall. Slowly, she turned, her eyes raking the floor until she saw it, her mother's stele. She reached for it, her breath catching. Valentine, turning, saw what she was doing. With a single stride, he was across the room. He kicked the stele out of her reach. It spun across the metal floor and fell through the hole in the wall. She half-closed her eyes, feeling the loss of the stele like the loss of her mother all over again.
"The demons will find your downworlder friend," said Valentine, in his cold, still voice, sliding a serif blade into a sheath at his waist. "There is nowhere for her to flee to, nowhere for any of you to go. Now get up, Clarissa."
Slowly, Clary got to her feet. Her whole body ached from the pummeling it had taken. A moment later, she gasped in surprise as Valentine seized her by the shoulders, turning her so that her back was to him. He whistled, a high, sharp, and unpleasant sound. The air stirred overhead, and she heard the ugly flap of leathery wings. With a little cry, she tried to break away, but Valentine was too strong. The wings settled around them both, and then they were rising into the air together, Valentine holding her in his arms, as if he really were her father. Jace had thought he and Luke would be dead by now. He wasn't sure why they weren't. The deck of the ship was slippery with blood. He was covered in filth. Even his hair was lank and sticky with ichor, and his eyes stung with blood and sweat. There was a deep cut along the top of his right arm, and no time to carve a healing rune into the skin. Every time he lifted the arm, a searing pain shot through his side. They had managed to wedge themselves into a recess in the metal wall of the ship, and they fought from the shelter as the demons lurched at them. Jace had used both his chakrams and was down to his last serif blade and the dagger he'd taken from Isabel. It wasn't much. He wouldn't have gone out to face only a few demons this poorly armed, and now he was facing a horde. He ought to be frightened, he knew, but he felt almost nothing at all, only a disgust for the demons who did not belong in this world, and rage at Valentine who had summoned them here. Distantly, he knew his lack of fear wasn't entirely a good thing. He wasn't even afraid of how much blood he was losing from his arm. A spider demon scuttled toward Jace, chittering and jetting yellow poison. He ducked away, not quite fast enough to keep a few drops of the poison from splattering his shirt. It hissed as it ate through the material. He felt the sting as it burned his skin like a dozen tiny superheated needles. The spider demon clicked in satisfaction and sprayed another jet of poison. Jace ducked and the venom hit an Oni demon coming toward him from the side. The Oni screamed in agony and thrashed its way to the spider demon, claws extended. The two grappled together, rolling across the deck. The surrounding demon surged away from the spilled poison, which made a barrier between them and the Shadow Hunter. Jace took advantage of the momentary breather to turn to Luke beside him. Luke was almost unrecognizable. His ears rose to sharp, wolfish points. His lips were pulled back from his snarling muzzle in a permanent rictus,
his clawed hands black with demon ichor.
We should go for the railings.
Luke's voice was half a growl.
Get off the ship. We can't kill them all. Maybe Magnus.
I don't think we're doing so badly. Jace twirled his seraph blade, which was a bad idea. His hand was wet with blood, and the blade almost slipped out of his grasp.
All things considered.
Luke made a noise that might have been a snarl, or a laugh, or a combination of both. Then something huge and shapeless fell out of the sky, knocking them both to the ground. Jace hit the ground hard, his seraph blade flying out of his hand. It struck the deck, skittered across the metal surface, and slid over the edge of the boat, out of sight. Jace swore and staggered to his feet. The thing that had landed on them was an Oni demon. It was unusually big for its kind, not to mention unusually smart to have thought of climbing up onto the roof and dropping down on them from above. It was sitting on top of Luke now, slashing at him with the sharp tusks that sprouted from its forehead. Luke was defending himself as best he could with his own claws, but he was already drenched in blood. His kinjal lay a foot away from him on the deck. Luke grabbed for it, and the Oni seized one of his legs in a spade-like hand, bringing the leg down like a tree branch over its knee. Jace heard the bone break with a snap as Luke cried out. Jace dived for the kinjal, grabbed it, and rolled to his feet, flinging the dagger hard at the back of the Oni demon's neck. It sliced through with enough force to decapitate the creature, which sagged forward, black blood gushing from its neck stump. A moment later, it was gone. The kinjal thumped to the deck beside Luke. Jace ran to him and knelt down.
Your leg.
It's broken.
Luke struggled into a sitting position, his face twisted in pain.
But you heal fast.
Luke looked around, his face grim. The Oni might have been dead, but the other demons had learned from its example. They were swarming up onto the roof. Jace couldn't tell in the dim moonlight how many of them there were. Dozens? Hundreds? After a certain number, it didn't matter anymore. Luke closed his hand around the hilt of the kinjal.
Not fast enough.
Jace drew Isabel's dagger from his belt. It was the last of his weapons, and it seemed suddenly and pitifully small. A sharp emotion pierced him. Not fear, he was still beyond that, but sorrow. He saw Alec and Isabel as if they were standing in front of him, smiling at him. And then he saw Clary with her arms out as if she were welcoming him home. He rose to his feet just as they fell from the roof in a wave, a shadow tide blotting out the moon. Jace moved to try to block Luke, but it was no use. The demons were all around. One reared up in front of him. It was a 6-foot skeleton grinning with broken teeth. Scraps of brightly colored Tibetan prayer flags hung from its rotting bones. It gripped a katana sword in a bony hand, which was unusual. Most demons didn't arm themselves. The blade, inscribed with demonic runes, was longer than Jace's arm, curling and sharp and deadly. Jace flung the dagger. It struck the demon's bony ribcage and stuck there. The demon barely seemed to notice. It only kept moving, inexorable as death. The air around it stank of death and graveyards. It raised the katana in a clawed hand. A gray shadow cut the darkness in front of Jace, a shadow that moved with a whirling, precise, and deadly motion. The downward swing of the katana met with the grinding screech of metal on metal. The shadowy figure thrust the katana back at the demon, stabbing upward with the other hand with a swiftness that Jace's eyes could barely follow. The demon fell back, its skull shattering as it crumpled into nothingness. All around him he could hear the shrieks of demons howling in pain and surprise. Whirling, he saw that dozens of shapes, human shapes, were crawling up over the railings, dropping to the ground, and racing to close with the mass of demons that crawled, slithered, hissed, and flew upon the deck. They carried blades of light and wore the dark, tough clothing of...
Shadow hunters?
Jace said, so startled that he spoke out loud.
Who else?
A grin flashed in the darkness.
Malik? Is that you?
Malik inclined his head.
Sorry about earlier today, he said. I was under orders.
Jace was about to tell Malik that his having just saved his life more than made up for his earlier attempt to prevent Jace from leaving the Institute when a group of round demons surged toward them, tentacles lashing the air. Malik whirled and charged to meet them with a shout.
his seraph blade blazing like a star. Jace was about to follow him when a hand seized him by the arm and pulled him sideways. It was a shadow hunter, all in black, a hood shading the face beneath.
Come with me.
The hand tugged insistently at his sleeve.
I need to get to Luke. He's been hurt.
He jerked his arm back.
Let go of me. Oh, for the angel's sake.
The figure released him and reached up to push back the hood of its long cloak, revealing a narrow white face and gray eyes that blazed like chips of diamond.
Now will you do what you're told, Jonathan?
It was the Inquisitor. Despite the whirling speed with which they flew through the air, Clary would have kicked out at Valentine if she could, but he held her as if his arms were iron bands. Her feet swung free, but struggle as she might, she didn't seem to be able to connect with anything. When the demon banked and swerved suddenly, she let out a scream. Valentine laughed. Then they were spinning through a narrow metal tunnel and into a much larger, wider room. Instead of dropping them unceremoniously, the flying demon set them down gently on the floor. Much to Clary's surprise, Valentine let her go. She jerked away from him and stumbled into the middle of the room, looking around wildly. It was a big space, probably once some kind of machine room. Machinery still lined the walls, shoved out of the way to create a wide square space in the center. The floor was thick black metal, splotched here and there with darker stains. In the middle of the empty space were four basins, big enough to wash a dog in. The interiors of the first two were stained a dark rust brown. The third was full of a dark red liquid. The fourth was empty. A metal footlocker stood behind the bowls. A dark cloth had been thrown over it. As she drew closer, she saw that on top of the cloth rested a silver sword that glowed with a blackish light, almost an absence of illumination, a radiant, visible darkness. Clary whirled around and stared at Valentine, who was quietly watching her.
How could you do it? She demanded. How could you kill Simon? He was just a boy, just an ordinary human.
He wasn't human, said Valentine in his silky voice. He had become a monster. You just couldn't see it, Clarissa, because it wore the face of a friend.
He wasn't a monster.
She moved a little closer to the sword. It looked huge, heavy. She wondered if she could lift it, and even if she could she swing it?
He was still Simon.
Don't think I'm not sympathetic to your situation, said Valentine.
He stood unmoving in the single shaft of light that came down from the trapdoor in the ceiling.
It was the same for me when Lucian was bitten.
He told me, she spat at him. You gave him a dagger and told him to kill himself.
That was a mistake, said Valentine.
At least you admit it.
I should have killed him myself. It would have showed that I cared.
Clary shook her head. But you didn't. You've never cared about anyone. Not even my mother. Not even Jace. They were just things that belonged to you.
But isn't that what love is, Clarissa? Ownership? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, as the Song of Songs goes.
No, and don't quote the Bible at me. I don't think you get it.
She was standing very near to the locker now, the hilt of the sword within reaching distance. Her fingers were wet with sweat, and she dried them surreptitiously on her jeans.
It's not just that someone belongs to you. It's that you give yourself to them. I doubt you've ever given anything to anyone, except maybe nightmares.
To give yourself to someone.
The thin smile didn't waver.
As you've given yourself to Jonathan.
Her hand, which had been lifting toward the sword, spasmed into a fist. She pulled it back against her chest, staring at him unbelievingly.
What?
You think I haven't seen the way you two look at each other, the way he says your name. You may not think I can feel, but that doesn't mean I can't see feelings in others.
Valentine's tone was cool, every word a sliver of ice stabbing into her ears.
I suppose we have only ourselves to blame, your mother and I.
Having kept you two apart so long, you never developed the revulsion toward each other that would be more natural between siblings.
I don't know what you mean.
Clary's teeth were chattering.
I think I make myself plain enough.
He had moved out of the light.
His face was a study in shadow.
I saw Jonathan.